The New Testament opens with a genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, describing him as Son of David, Son of Abraham. And this takes us back immediately to a connection with the Lord Jesus in Abraham himself. And in Genesis 22, most of which we have just read together, there is a direct connection with the gospel message and especially the role of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was being tested. He was told to kill and burn the son of promise, in whom the promises were to be fulfilled. And we have that in the opening verses of this chapter, where God said in verse 2, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And when we go back to the previous chapter and verse 12, we look at the end of that verse, and this is God speaking, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." Isaac then was a son of promise. He had been given by promise, and the promises of God to Abraham were vested in Isaac. Our first consideration of this subject would seem to that this sacrifice would prevent the promise being fulfilled. But Abraham obeyed. Note particularly verse 4 and 5 here. "Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Now we note that, first of all, this was the third day when they saw the place far off. So for 3 days, Isaac was under sentence of death. And in verse 5, we see Abraham's faith, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Whatever happened, Isaac had to return alive. And God could recreate him if necessary, even had he been offered as a whole burnt offering. Now Isaac was puzzled, as we saw, by the lack of the animal for the sacrifice. We see this in verse 7. "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And the answer that Abraham gives is prophetic. "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." God would provide. Abraham was prepared to kill his son, and Isaac willingly submitted. He was a young man. He could have struggled against his aging father, but as we see, they went together, and Isaac went along with what his father was doing, perhaps understanding that this was the command of God, and it had a special purpose, which as yet perhaps he did not understand. But Abraham was interrupted as he went to obey in the finest detail. Verse 10, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Isaac was reprieved. And it wasn't a lamb that was provided for a sacrifice. It was a full-grown ram that was caught by its horns in a thicket. So the lamb that of which Abraham had spoken, of which he had prophesied, was still future. Come with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we go in at verse 17. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What the writer to the Hebrews is telling us is that what was enacted with Abraham and Isaac was a picture of sacrifice, death, and resurrection after 3 days. All this tied up in this test of faith for Abraham, who is described as the father of the faithful. And when you think just how much faith he needed to be able to do this, to be prepared to kill his son of promise, then you can see just how great a test it was and how well he came out of it and how strong was his faith. And I think it was a blessing for him as well, because he, above all men, would appreciate the feelings of the Lord God when the Lord Jesus was being killed by wicked men. When Israel came out of Egypt, the final plague, which ended with them being thrust out of the land, was for Israel a test of their faith and their obedience. We go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3. God speaking to Moses and Aaron, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it." Verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you, to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." We see the sequence here. There was a lamb to be taken, to be kept up. It had to be without blemish. It had to be killed, and the blood was daubed on the woodwork of the door frame, and the lamb itself was roasted and eaten. And the consequence of this was that those who obeyed and stayed in the house escaped the death of the firstborn that came on all those in the land of Egypt who did not act like this. It was a means of escaping death, and they had to stay in the house while this was going on. Verse 22, at the end of the verse we have, "None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." So they had to stay in the house all night and go out in the morning. And meanwhile, the angel of death would be going over the land of Egypt and slaying the firstborn. And there's a further restriction we have in verse 46. "In one house shall it be eaten," and this ties in with what we've seen, that staying in the house, "thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof." That was another restriction. The lamb had to be killed and eaten without a single bone being broken. And this lamb became known as the Passover lamb. And we're told in the New Testament that this pointed forward to a greater fulfillment. This again was a foretaste of that which God had in store. We go to the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 5. Just one verse there. First of Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. And that's relating to the restriction on the bread being eaten with the Passover lamb being unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So the Passover lamb pointed forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an enacted prophecy, and it had to be enacted every year by the children of Israel. Not just a single event, as with Abraham and Isaac, but an enacted prophecy every year. We have in Isaiah 53 an extended prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of which are often sung at this time of year. Isaiah chapter 53. We shall not read the whole chapter, although that would be relevant and profitable. But we go in at verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. There's much detail in this chapter about the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the mockery of a trial he endured, his death and his burial, with the prospect of life again beyond the grave. And what a contrast there is with those who benefit from this sacrifice. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when Handel set those words to music, he made it a joyous, light-hearted piece of music, because that's the way in which people do disregard the word of God and go their own way. They make light of the word of God. And I think Handel sensed that in the way he set these words to music. In Israel's regular worship, a lamb was offered. It's described as morning and evening. The detail of the original has the evening one as really between the evenings, which is a figurative way of saying mid-afternoon. It's between the time the sun begins to set and the time it is actually set. So in practice, it would probably be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's a morning and afternoon sacrifice. And we go to Exodus 29 to see the way in which this is described. Israel is still in the wilderness. They haven't entered the land, but they're being told what they needed to do in the tabernacle, first of all, and then this was continued in the temple when it was built. Exodus 29, verse 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. Every day then, twice a day, throughout the year, every year, whatever other sacrifices were offered, the morning and evening sacrifice were offered as lambs of the first year. It was a constant reminder to Israel of the need for forgiveness through sacrifice. When John the Baptist introduced Jesus, it was not as the light of the world. John's gospel record begins with reference to the Word and to the light. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The introduction, then, is concerning light, but that's not what John speaks of when he introduces the Lord Jesus. Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 35. Again the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. John is here bringing together the images of the Old Testament as a summarized mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, the conquest of sin by the sacrifice of an unblemished lamb, a lamb that would be slain and would be raised again. All this foreshadowed in the events at which we have looked. Jesus was captured. He was accused falsely. He was executed by a slow, painful death, the death of crucifixion. And he died at the time of the evening sacrifice. We go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, that would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. There then is the timing of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told very precisely when this darkness ended and when Jesus cried with a loud voice and when he died. We go to John's Gospel record in chapter 19 for a little more information which ties together some of those things which we have looked at already. John chapter 19, verse 31. This is after Jesus has died. We have that at the end of verse 30. Verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. That was the practice if they wanted to speed up death from crucifixion, to break the legs so that the whole weight of the body was taken upon the arms and the pressure upon the chest would cause a faster death. Verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And that is what we saw with the Passover lamb. Not a single bone was to be broken. And that must have meant for that prophecy to be fulfilled with the Lord Jesus, that when the nails went in, they didn't even chip the bones of the Lord Jesus. But here we have a direct quotation then from the Passover rules. He had been crucified with criminals. Isaiah 53 speaks of that. He was buried by the rich, and we do have that in this chapter. Verse 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. This then is a further fulfilment of Isaiah 53. The Lord Jesus had been crucified with the wicked, and he was with the rich in his death, in the sepulchre in which he was placed. Fulfilling the image of Isaac escaping death, Jesus was raised and granted immortality, and is alive forevermore. And we're shown that at the beginning of the book of Revelation, for example, where the Lord Jesus is revealed as the one who was dead and is alive forevermore. Now, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was not just for himself, as Peter shows in his first letter. First letter of Peter and chapter 1. Verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only truly effective sacrifice. The daily lambs were repetitive and were needed to be repetitive. Day by day, morning and evening, the daily lambs were sacrificed. But the Lord Jesus once only. The letter to the Hebrews expands on that. We have no time to follow that right through now, but it's worth following up that the Lord Jesus offered the one sacrifice once and for all. Repeatedly in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus is called the Lamb. In chapter 5, we read that this morning, Revelation chapter 5, we see the Lord Jesus announced as a lion, but displayed as a lamb. Verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. There is the announcement, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. There is the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed even in his immortality as a lamb. There is a picture of a marriage feast. The marriage feast that Jesus spoke of in his parables. And we go to chapter 19, and there is reference to the marriage feast there, and we see how it's described. Verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. There's a picture of the saints described and mentioned at the end of verse 8. The saints who are now accounted righteous before God, being clothed upon with fine white linen. These are accepted, and these become the bride of the wife of the Lamb, as we have in verse 7, having been made ready. It's a picture then of a future event at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is limited participation in this. It is the saints, those who are called out and accounted righteous. And those who are called, you're invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you go back to chapter 14, we have another description of those who are favourably regarded by God. The opening verses of Revelation 14. And I looked, and lo, Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So here are those who are redeemed, who are saved by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they're described in verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Redeemed from amongst men, saved and bought back and made acceptable by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of such we have a further description in chapter 21. Speaking of the new city, which is revealed at the beginning of the chapter, verse 27, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There is then this book of life that is written, that's being written now, and those who are written in it and stay written in it will be amongst those who rejoice at the coming of the Lord Jesus and are blessed with immortality and the strength of a renewed body, an improved body, a perfect body in which to glorify God and serve him. And there is lasting joy for those who are thus blessed. The next chapter, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Brothers and sisters, may we so be amongst those who are called and remain called and have our names retained in the book of life and follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, that we may be amongst those who rejoice in that day. And meanwhile, we echo the last recorded words of mortal man in Scripture in verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.